Today is January 15th, and some of your bills might be due, so make sure to pay them.
Kind of rare for bills to be due on the 15th, isn't it? I guess it
that's like the midpoint. That's where, like, see, I scheduled like half of mine to come out at like, so you have like rent at the beginning, and then some of your bills in the middle, and then some at the end. I scheduled them spread out.
I've noticed that no matter when you join Patreon, it always charges whenever it charges.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't care. Even if you only had it for like a day.
Which is another reason for people to abandon Patreon.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. We're using, I don't know if everyone's seen the tweet, but we are using Ko-fi, coffee.
Yeah. So that, well, you have now that as an option, alternative option.
Do we know the actual, because you guys have pronounced it both ways every time I've heard you say it.
We don't know.
I like to say Ko-fi, but I feel like that's probably wrong, because it's supposed to be like you're buying like them a cup of coffee.
Right, yeah. Wasn't that one of Patreon's early tags? It's like, buy these guys a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
It's exciting.
I don't drink coffee because of the stones. So that's false advertisement for me.
Coffee's delicious, though.
We don't have an easy way to integrate the reward tiers either, so thank you.
Yeah.
You got to do it purely out of love.
We've gotten a few people who've done it, though.
Well, it's the big news this week is, if you want to call it news, is CES, of course, and the you know, green versus red mud fight.
Versus blue.
Blue in there a little bit. We'll start with blue.
When you mix red and green, it just turns into brown.
That was a color joke.
It is a color joke.
You were talking about poop. Intel demonstrates a 10-nanometer Ice Lake processor and promises PC will ship with it later this year. Well, they promised that about 2019, too. Let's not forget.
Well, they've been making a lot of promises.
I mean, 2018.
About chips for a lot of time.
Now, I was at Computex in 2018, and I saw that 5 gigahertz 28-core monster that was going to be out in time for Christmas. Christmas was like last week.
Last week? It was like a month ago almost.
And there's no 28-core. There's nothing.
Well, AMD is looking to capitalize on that delay, that inability of Team Blue. And they're saying, you know what, 10-nanometer, a bird in the hand, a 12-nanometer in the hand is better than a 10-nanometer in the bush.
Or a 7-nanometer in the bush, but, you know, I don't know. Because, yeah, Circuit Breaker has the article, AMD's new 12-nanometer Ryzen laptop chips look to put pressure on Intel. So AMD has a partnership with a number of laptop manufacturers, and at CES there were a number of compelling laptops based around these chips. Not just Ryzen, but also, you know, the Athlon APU, so that's like 2 cores, 4 threads. But all those CPUs are 4 cores, 4 threads, plus graphics. And there were 3000 series. They were noted, or like put in as 3000 series, but 7 nanometers, where is 7 nanometer? Where's all that 7 nanometer production going? Well, it turns out it's not just processors. It's also graphics cards.
I gotta say, the comments on that build video, it makes you completely understand the political situation that we're in. Because the adherence to a brand for no reason other than adherence to
my brand.
And it's up until this point, I'll say up until this point, it has been true that, you know, they could not touch Team Green when it came to pure graphics performance.
Now, some people are only here for the news, so you should tell them that you did a build video for
They'd use an NVIDIA graphics card. Yeah. And everybody was like, where's Vega? Where's Threadripper? you don't like the things that I like.
Threadripper's not going to make Dwarf Fortress go faster, I'm sorry.
But here's the good thing. If you are one of those people, you might actually be in competition for having a good graphics card.
AMD announces the Radeon 7. It's like, see, it's like V2, like, but it's not, you know, I don't know. It's next generation 7-nanometer graphics card. So they put out the Instinct last year at Computex. I was there for that. And the Instinct was, you know, performance-oriented for businesses. This is a very similar approach, 7-nanometer, but it goes on sale February 7th, so expect coverage. It's like, my wallet is ready. So, yeah.
And it's going to be comparably priced to the 2080. And it's supposed to compete with the 2080, not the 2080 Ti.
Now, the exciting thing about this is that the Vega cards generally have been better, even than the 1080. I think even in the 1080 Ti in terms of stability for content creators. I've been doing some experiments with Vega versus 10 series cards in like Premiere, like can Premiere handle stuff. And it does seem like Vega, even Vega 64 handles it better. So the 7, the Radeon 7 may be great for content creators. It's exciting.
Now, if you're hardcore Team Green, but you're hurting for the opposite reason, being that you're just poor.
You're hardcore Team Green, but you got no green in your wallet.
There you go. There's a little bit of hope for you as well.
The NVIDIA GeForce RTX 2060 review. Reasonably priced ray tracing. We didn't get an early one. We do have one on the way, so we're going to be able to mess around with it. It's priced around $350. It's really weird, though.
$350.
Like, yeah, it's about $350. So there's 4K gaming. It's not going to do that. There's 1440p gaming, and there's 1080p gaming. And for 1440p and 1080p, there are cards that will do a better job. So I don't know. This 2060 is supposed to be about like a 2070, maybe a 2070 Ti. I don't know. We're going to put it through its paces and see what it is. It seems like it's in an odd spot price to performance wise because it's not going to deliver 4K, but there are less expensive cards that'll do 1440p. So
they did point out it was oddly good at VR and testing. So if you want like a
high FPS VR,
maybe that's his niche. Yeah.
Entry level VR. But, you know, like, you still want to play all the games? That might be something for you.
The big news, too, that came out of CES was AMD, or NVIDIA, is going to support AMD's FreeSync. They're not calling it that. They're calling it G-Sync compatible because we must not acknowledge the competition. That's the thing they seem to take.
Oh, they acknowledged it. And, in fact, he directly disputes what you just said. He says it simply will not work, as well as some other derogatory things.
Yeah, Gizmodo has the article. The NVIDIA CEO saw the seven, which really caught a lot of people by surprise. No one was expecting a new AMD GPU. And the CEO, Jensen Huang, says AMD's new GPU, the performance is lousy.
I kind of doubt that they sent him a copy to test.
Yeah, he probably doesn't know.
Well, I like lousy is the hardest roast he can come up with, too.
It's also a little bit disingenuous because NVIDIA has become such a huge behemoth that it almost seems like that they're, you know, throwing a tantrum about just a tiny, tiny bit of competition.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You destroy the competition before it can become... That's like the king murdering his sons.
You know, just, yeah.
Yeah, you got to do that. Well, there was a big story about AT&T this week, and this headline is sort of the end of the saga, so we have to back up and talk about what was discovered. So there was... I can't remember which website it was, but they found out that bounty hunters have access to location data from your mobile phone.
We're not talking about video games here. We're talking about real people.
Right. And so they decided to test that. So they went and found a bounty hunter and they were like, hey, we want you to find the location of this phone number. Can you do that? And he was like, I can do that for $300. They used their own phone number. So they knew where they were at a given time. They paid him. Sure enough, he came up with it. And so based on that, they sort of worked backwards and figured out AT&T was just selling stuff.
The Motherboard article has AT&T is going to stop selling location data to third parties after Motherboard's investigation. This is not the first time this happened. You used to be able to buy copies of people's cell phone bills. I mean, AT&T and all the other communications companies have found very creative ways to monetize your data because, let's face it, they're not adding new subscribers and they want to keep growing and making all kinds of money. So what sort of ways can you be monetized?
It's kind of terrifying to think about, like, in the event of, say, like you had a stalker or something like that, like it's just that easy just to pay for it.
Yep.
Or I'm sure private detectives could probably do the same thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And here, remember the prison that was able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that they knew that this was a problem. They just stopped the prisons from using it.
Yep.
They kept, and these are third-party companies. So it's not AT&T doing it directly, per se. It's AT&T indiscriminately selling it to third parties who then give access to the bounty hunters. So it's basically AT&T just like covering up their eyes and ears. They're doing the Helen Keller challenge. And they're saying, we know you're not using this for anything bad, right?
That's foreshadowing for the rest of our news. Maybe Fridays.
The Helen Keller was from last week.
Well, but we're going to have another Helen Keller challenge coming up later in the nonsense.
Somebody didn't read the news story.
Listen, I have no excuse this week. Usually I'm working with 3-year-olds and I don't have time, but
this week your heater exploded.
It did explode. Well, it didn't explode and kill anybody, but like it completely crapped out, so I've been dealing with that.
It had to be replaced.
Yeah.
Violently.
Well, one thing that you won't have to replace if you buy this incredibly overpriced one is your SD card.
Circuit Breaker talks about, you know, CES, Lexar's 1 terabyte SD card. It's the first you can actually buy. So SanDisk demoed one of these, but it's 1 terabyte. It's about $400 from B&H Photo. You can order it now. But you can get a 512 gig card for around 150. So,
yeah, but when you're shooting that the amateur porn on 4K,
4K uncompressed raw,
you don't want to you don't want to stop in the middle of it and swap cards. That ruins the mood. So it's totally worth that.
Definitely need the 100 to 10 terabyte or 1 terabyte card.
1 terabyte.
Yeah, you could take your camera out of the Ziploc bag a little less often.
That's a specific kind of homemade. Oh, Boiler Snake is very familiar with that.
He's got like, lots of ideas about making film with that 1 terabyte.
I know all about that kind of stuff. I've had the problem so many times. Oh, wow.
He's very noisy.
Well, Krista, you will be excited to know that one more hobby can be added to your list that includes rolling things up.
Okay. LG introduces OLED TV that rolls up and disappears when you're not watching it. This image is not accurate, but that's fine.
There it is.
Look how happy that guy looks, though.
Well, he's high as fuck.
Yeah.
So this part will roll down into the base. And it can also roll half height or quarter height. And just give you like a little multimedia music menu if you don't want to watch TV, but you want to use it for other things.
This is going to revolutionize tiny houses. tiny house builds just change the game.
Aren't tiny houses usually very economically minded?
They are, but there are some people who build like luxury ones now, and they're kind of expensive. And it's like, I think you missed the point.
Well, this one's going to be
a luxury tiny house.
They haven't priced it, but they say it's going to be similar to the 8K, which is $15,000.
I think that's reasonable part of your budget when you're building a tiny home.
I might be Captain Obvious here, but wouldn't this be better mounted to the ceiling?
I imagine it would work both ways. Do you think you could?
Yeah, if you want to save floor space.
Yeah, I mean, like imagine this like at the foot of your bed. It's like, you know, when it's down, it's going to feel a little claustrophobic, but then you can hit a button and it just retracts into the ceiling. That would be nice.
You know who else is going to love this? Cats.
Or dogs. Rue would like that. She'd poke at it with her nose.
They'll launch across the room and start biting the corner of it. Yeah. And then you don't have an OLED TV anymore.
Well, you have one with small holes in it. Dead pixels. Well, one thing that... So here in the country, we don't have scooters. We have the green bikes.
Yeah.
It's just bicycles with GPS.
And you do see them everywhere, just abandoned. Right now, it's not so bad because there's no students.
Does anyone just take those? Like, what happens to those? Does someone come and have to go get them? Like,
somebody hooked one on a roof of a local building.
That is the what the story is about, is what happens when they're left alone. So in larger cities, the answer is they get impounded. And then that's where the controversy starts.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation has the article. It's like, Bird Rides demands a takedown of a news report on lawful reuse of scooters. So you get one of these scooters impounded, and then you can buy it at a police auction. Now, the company could buy it as well. Like, if it's impounded, they just pay the fine, they can get the device back.
Yeah, they could. Well, they wouldn't even have to buy it. They could just retrieve it.
It seems like that something has gone very wrong with lots and lots of venture capital here. Like, if I were a venture capitalist, I'd be freaking out. But they're not protecting their property or managing it or anything like that. You buy these at auction, you do an electronics swap, and then you get a perfectly nice electric scooter. Well, they sent Cory Doctorow a takedown request because he was talking about people talking about that. But that's on DMCA grounds. But the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Cory Doctorow handed them their butt because that is insane overreach. And I'm glad that they targeted him, because if they targeted anybody else, they actually tried to get his Boing Boing account. They were like, hey, you have Boing Boing, you have a rider that's doing some really bad stuff with the DMCA. And if it was just like you and me, you know, Joe Random Public, that Boing Boing probably wouldn't have even looked at it.
Every time you say Boing Boing, I kind of giggle a little bit.
That is a stupid website. Yeah. But, our name is stupid too. Yeah. So the thing about it is, they point out, even if he was like, hey, here's how you can buy crack in West Philadelphia, that's all First Amendment. There is no shutting that down. I mean, you can tell about illegal activities in an article. That's
how we got the Fresh Prince.
That's not a problem. So this is completely baseless. And this points out, as many things have, the problem with DMCA is there is no consequence if you abuse it.
Yeah.
And there will continue not to be.
Yeah.
Well, the Tesla subsidy issue here in America is probably going to slow down their sales. They're talking about reducing prices. So they need to branch out. They need to find a new market. And today, they're doing just that.
Elon Musk has broken ground on Tesla's Shanghai factory. I think they paid $140 million for the land here. They're going to produce Teslas in Shanghai. This is going to get rid of the whole international tariff thing. They can sell them to mainland China. A lot of new wealth across the pond. And this is going to be good for Tesla, probably.
I like to imagine that they had the Boring Company just drill a hole straight to China. And then they just, wherever they popped up, it's like, we'll buy this land.
But I'm sure that Elon Musk is like, can we do that?
That would still be quite a bit of shipping, don't you think? I mean,
well, it could be automated. I mean, if I guess had a straight hole, you could just put them on a thing.
You could drop them halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'd have to drive the other half straight up.
Mm.
That's how science works. Have you seen the movie The Core?
Well, you could go through the like Earth's crust at an angle. So, like, you would be, you know, at your deepest point, you would be, like, 7 miles underground or 8 miles underground. But you'd be under the ocean. But
that'd be terrifying. That's like,
instead
no.
of going down and back up, you just go across.
That would be even more travel.
I was thinking from, like, California to Shanghai. If you're thinking from, like, New York to Shanghai, then that's going to be, like, insane. Thousands of miles underground.
But, I mean, this is all insane. You're barely, extra insane.
You're just reducing the curve of just doing it over
the
curve. So it's not even that much of a saving.
Yeah.
Although if you had, if that was just, you know, empty, you could drive your Tesla at max speed. What do they do? Like 120, 140?
If you're just trying to flex on people, yeah.
I was thinking more like the pneumatic train. Like you just put, like literally build like a wagon train of them. Do the pneumatic compression thing behind them in the vacuum tube or whatever, and they're going like 600 miles an hour plus in the tube. I mean, it's like airplane speeds, but underground.
That's quite a bit of infrastructure. Yeah. Anyway, they're not going to do that. They're going to build them over there. So the matter's settled.
Although, wouldn't it be cool if he got around the tariff by having a secret Boring Company thing? Where it's like magically the inventory was just wherever we need it, and you couldn't. Never mind, it's a national security issue, but.
You could never prove that they drilled a giant hole in the crust and just...
Imagine what Huawei would be sending back through the hole. That's like the Stargates. Once you open them, you don't know what you've tapped into. Well, Facebook has, Facebook has done some stupid things in 2018 at least. And it
Speaking
seems like
of tapping into the Stargate.
It doesn't look like 2019 is starting off. Of course, this happened in 2018, but we're just finding out about it.
Facebook reportedly sought advice from anti-gay evangelical Tony Perkins. Facebook privately sought advice on policy decisions from the founder of the hate group Family Research Council. Good Lord.
Yeah, these are like the pray the gay away people. And they were advertising the re-education camps and stuff like that.
Whew.
I don't know who... That doesn't name names. So
it's
going to
be a yikes for me.
I don't know who was seeking this advice. Could it have been the Zuck himself?
I don't think so.
That doesn't strike me as... Like, yeah, who... Because don't they all... weren't there other articles about Facebook where it was like, you can't be liberal here or you can't be conservative here?
Right, yeah.
Have there been any high-level Facebook executives that have left? Because Zuckerberg probably would have personally fired that person. Because I don't think... I mean, Zuckerberg has never, to my knowledge...
Oh, yeah, there was the one guy, remember, who... they had to buy him out.
That might be the guy.
You think he was gay?
No, well, anti-gay.
But, oh, you think he was the one contacting them?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't. I didn't get that.
I don't know. Like, what could they possibly consult on that would earn them money?
Well, it's not just, like, he's famous for anti-gay stuff, but he is, you know, it could just be like the Christian. It's always bothered me that the president's called up the one guy who's the famous televangelist.
I don't know.
But it's like, you're asking that guy for advice? like Bush always did that. And I was like, whoa. Well, that guy is clearly a snake. How?
Maybe you should call Bezos. Because Bezos is going to be able to.
I think Trump would be too proud to call anybody.
If Bezos is not Lex Luthor, he's definitely Santa. Because they're jockeying for access to your house at all times. Not even just Christmas.
Yeah, Amazon is, so we've had the Amazon Key program. That has been renamed the Home Key. Why would you rename it? Because now there's a garage key.
Amazon will soon offer to deliver packages to your garage so they don't get stolen. So maybe giving them access to your front door is not the best idea. Maybe putting them in your garage or your vehicle, as we've learned about. Also businesses. So if your business requires a fob to get access to the building, you can give Amazon access and then they can just beep right in. What could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely nothing.
This is, I guess it's a little better. I mean, there's usually not anything in your garage that's insanely valuable that's easy to steal. Now, they might take your lawnmower, but
they have to load it onto the truck. What about my camping gear? That's valuable.
I got a case of cat food and I'm down a lawnmower.
Several pallets of water. But yeah, so this is, it's like the other ones. They've got an app. They don't have like a fob, but they show up to your house. There's an app, and it can be sort of like two-factored through you and Amazon. So the delivery man's like, I'm at the house. And then you get a notification, and you're like, yes, I expected this. And you press the button to open the garage door.
Can you leave milk and cookies for your delivery driver? That'd be cool.
I did that for the people who repaired my furnace or, like, you know, completely replaced it. I left, like, empty cups, like clean ones with spoons, and then I left marshmallows and hot chocolate packets, and I said, help yourself, but they didn't take any.
And they left you some mud all through your house.
Well, they also fixed the heat, so I mean, I can't complain too much. But
that is their job.
Is it new and amazing, or is it like recycled?
When I came in the other night, I didn't even realize the heat was on. It was so quiet because the other one just rumbled and like shook the floor and stuff, and it was like, oh, the heat's actually, it's warm in here, and I don't feel like the house is going to fall down. Checked the serial number on the old one. It was probably from like 1982.
Wow.
That's about what you'd expect from one of those units. Of course, that unit will never make it that long.
No.
Because it's new.
No. Yeah.
They've gotten the obsolescence science down by now.
Well, Amazon, we've heard about xCloud, the Microsoft game streaming service that they plan, where you don't get to keep your games at all. You buy them, but you don't get them delivered in any format. Microsoft keeps them. And Amazon said, that sounds like a good business model.
GeekWire has the article that Amazon is reportedly working on game streaming services, talking to publishers about signing up. So this would be, I guess, where like the game runs in the cloud. But I think the difference with the Microsoft thing is that the game is going to try to run locally to try to avoid like the lag, the latency problems. And this doesn't sound like that. This sounds like you're going to get games on Fire TV that are rendered somewhere else, which is not going to be fast.
That's not going to work.
The Microsoft one did a hybrid approach where it took some parts of the game, like hit detection and stuff like that, and did it locally and then sent that back to the cloud. I don't know how Amazon would do it.
Seems like it's not going to end well.
They could download, you know, a partial version of the game.
If we're talking about Android games, like I want to play Peggle. Okay, I believe Peggle was going to run on a Fire TV.
It's funny that one of the most popular things that the pirates do with modern ROMs, like Nintendo ROMs, is just strip out all the video and garbage and give you a very tiny functional version of just the game. It's faster. It loads faster. Everything's nice. You don't have to watch any of the like splash screens or anything like that. So it's like, oh, you made it better.
Speaking of things not being made better.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. If you own some shares in AT&T, you might like this news.
I don't think so.
If you work at AT&T, you decidedly do not.
Motherboard has the article, AT&T preps for new layoffs despite billions in tax breaks and regulatory favors. So internal documents obtained by Motherboard show that the company is preparing layoffs. You know, mega mergers, deregulation, and tax breaks aren't providing the public benefits that AT&T promised. So this is just the beginning of, I think, what's going to be a pretty big bombshell. Because remember when AT&T bought, I think it was DirecTV, satellite distribution company, they were like, this is going to be great. We're going to do all this stuff, and it's going to be awesome. And then they were trying to do some of the cell phone stuff. They're an infrastructure provider. Like, they don't, like, I don't understand why anybody would be surprised by this. I mean, it's completely against what they said.
Well, if you go back and look at almost every mega merger, they always promise the same thing. Better for consumers because it will lower prices. And better for the market because it will create jobs.
Well, yes. And a big part, like when we covered this, a big part of what AT&T was saying was, look, two companies can't afford to invest in the infrastructure necessary to do all this. We're going to need all these employees to carry out our infrastructure upgrades. But once again, the infrastructure upgrades have completely disappeared.
But every merger, those have been total lies.
Yes.
They always raise prices and they always cut employees. Yes. Because it makes sense. There's got to be redundancy in employees when you merge.
Yep.
And you now have a more monopolized market, so you can raise prices.
Yep.
And they always will.
And it's not even like we're going to lay off these people that are in production and then we're going to hire a ton of linemen to actually run our fiber optic network and do all the stuff we've been putting off for 20 years. And so it's like we're on a hiring frenzy, but we're also laying off a bunch of people. I can understand that. That would be okay. But they're not doing the infrastructure upgrades. They literally just plastered over 4G with 5G. And that's like they didn't actually do a 5G rollout, and they're going to get away with it. It's terrible.
Yeah, they always do. And that article points out, you know, this it's never happened the way they promised it's going to happen, and yet our regulators continue maybe to choose listen to believe this time. It. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work for us.
Well,
as a taxpayer, I demand a refund. Like, we gave you some money to do some stuff. You didn't hold up your end of the bargain. I want a refund.
We'll go ahead and contact the IRS. Oh, wait. There's no one answering the phones. I remember getting a phone. Topical. I can't remember what the phone was. It might have been a Samsung. And I was going through and just removing all the garbage apps that come with it, the bloatware.
And I got to
NFL TV. And it was like, you can't. There's no uninstall option. And so I Googled it, and it was like, no, you can't uninstall NFL TV from these phones. And I was like, what? How stupid is this? But at least NFL TV, as far as I know, doesn't have a history of spying, selling data, invading your life in every way possible.
Yeah. Well, Samsung, Bloomberg is finally saying, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? So in the technology section, they've got Samsung phone users perturbed to find they can't delete Facebook. I don't know. I mean, it's been this way since the Galaxy S8. You guys are a little slow to the uptake here.
Well, somebody figured it out, tweeted about it, and it became a bit of an uproar.
Didn't matter until Cambridge Analytica did it.
Yeah.
Well, that was a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, they've had a lot of other bad press since then.
You can disable it, but no one is sure if that means it will stop tracking. And Facebook and Samsung are not answering that question.
I've noticed that for apps that I disable, that they will still sometimes get updates. And then I have, like, on the screen, it's like you can uninstall update. And then it's like, this thing has been disabled the whole time. Why does it keep getting updates?
The best you could do is just take it back to the stock install.
Yeah.
Which is maybe now a security risk. So, I don't know. Mm. Well, Apple did not have a lot to say at CES. They certainly didn't want to talk about the XR because that's embarrassing. But they had to say something, right? So they just said a lot of something that amounted to nothing.
Yeah, Tim Cook said that Apple will announce new services this year. Everybody's speculating that's Apple TV. It might not actually be Apple TV. We don't know. Why is this news?
Yeah, we almost cut this story, to be honest.
I don't know if you noticed, but it was Apple that said it.
And that's important.
Tim Cook is a genius. Yeah, Apple TV, it seems like, is coming in pretty late to the game. They might have the infrastructure to compete.
Who would pay the premium, though? Like, they would have to have some sort of innovation to make it better than other services, I would think.
No.
Yeah, no innovation. Now, they have been investing a ton of money on programming, but I don't think we've heard about any specific programming.
No. Right?
Maybe they're waiting.
Well, it's like, it takes a long time to produce content for television. And I mean, it's, you know, a year or 2 year lead time is not unusual.
Yeah. Well, we here at Level One, for a long time, we didn't use ad blockers because we felt it was a bit hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we get money from ads if you watch this.
And
on
we
YouTube.
Don't make the news. We want to show you the news.
Yeah, we're using these sites in the,
to aggregate everything.
But they made it
commentary
so difficult to load enough tabs to do this because of the tracking and all of the ads and the garbage. We just literally couldn't do it. It was a technical problem, not a moral problem. And Chrome seems to understand this on some level.
Chrome's ad blocker is going to go global on July 9th. And so it's not blocking all ads. It's just blocking the really egregious ads in an attempt to keep that whole ad revenue-based business model on the internet on life support a couple of more years.
They list, here's what they consider to be offending ads. Pop-up, auto-playing video with sound, prestitial with countdown, large sticky ads, and then on mobile they add a couple more because of the format that's worse.
Ad density higher than 30%.
So
the sticky ads is like, oh, I hate those.
If you have an ad that offends this list, they will actually block all ads on the site, including their own.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough.
Yeah, it's kind of, with the Google Terms of Service, it's kind of tricky to mix AdSense and non-AdSense ads anyway.
Well, last week, I think, was the first week that broke the combo of stories about failed Windows updates. But
it's because everybody was on vacation. No one was updating anything.
That's true. You know, it was the holiday slowdown.
Yeah, everyone was.
But the good news
out of it.
Is they're right back into form.
We might not be working, but you are. Windows 7 users report network errors after the January update. So in a nutshell, if you got a mapped network drive and you came in and you double-clicked on the mapped network drive, it didn't work. And it's because Microsoft doesn't have a single beta tester in the entire building that is worth their salt.
Well, maybe not in the building, but all around the world.
Well,
we're all beta testers now.
The Windows 7, the involuntary beta program, has uncovered an issue with the Windows 7 update, and Microsoft issued a mea culpa, and maybe it's fixed now.
Involuntary beta program. That would be a great thing to do if you're releasing like an early access game or something. Well, we talked about, was it late 2018 when this came out? The Alphabet scandal?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty late 2018 when they finally settled it and he left.
It was
pre-Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it originally came out at the beginning of 2018, though.
Forever to settle it.
But it came out about the $90 million settlement.
Yeah.
So this is about the Google execs who had a little bit of fun with some of the ladies in the office.
You know, and, harassed them while they tried to do their jobs.
When it came out, they were just like, all right, yeah, I better go. But hey, how about that $90 million?
CNBC has the article. Alphabet's board has been sued for their role in allegedly covering up sexual misconduct by senior executives. Sundar Pichai said, well, there have been 42 cases of this at Google, which for as large as Google is, honestly, is not a shockingly large number. And so
these are the ones that have been reported as well, though.
Yeah, so I don't know if Google has just gone, like, I don't know if the wrongdoing here is that Google has gone out of their way to not report it, or if the 42 is a high number relative to the number of employees that Google has.
I think that's probably fairly common. I think the problem here is that it's such hypocrisy, because they paint themselves as being
do no evil, so let's be
progressive,
open.
And
This
is the shareholders who are suing, and so they're saying that they're actually damaging the shareholders' value in holding shares of the company because they're paying these guys off and protecting them rather than just, you know, letting them go after them as every other company in the world would.
Mm.
So it could also argue that the reason those shares have those values, some of these guys, but, you know, high-level executives tend to protect their own. I don't think that's going to change.
Executives going to execute. Oh, wait.
It'd be preferable, maybe, but I don't think that's allowed.
Well, the 2018 was certainly a year of space flight. There were tons of records broken. We're reusing things. It's amazing.
SpaceX ended up being much better than expected.
And
much sooner.
One of the things that brings us is tons of satellites. But the thing about a satellite is, it's a very specific thing. You build it to do one thing. And the speed at which technology moves can sometimes be a problem. So this company claims they have a solution.
BBC News has this article, Quantum Handover for Fully Flexible Satellite. They talk about how they've launched a new satellite. They've got a bird in the air. And the mission is flexible. The frequencies that it uses and how much transmission power it uses and all the parameters that you normally would hardwire into a satellite are all software defined in this satellite. It can be upgraded through firmware updates, and the mission can be retasked. Purpose can have multiple purposes and missions. So, yeah, it's a generic satellite platform for whatever.
Improve the light on this one city in China.
Easy. Now, this has to be huge, because the thing about hardwiring a satellite is you can make it super small, like a microcontroller. It's very specific. Something like this has to be really, really massive. I think it's 3.5 tons.
Ooh.
But I would be very worried if I was these guys about having a pure software solution for something like this. Because
it's going to be mining Bitcoin before you know it.
And the odds of something not going wrong and you not being able to restart it with a signal. You think SpaceX will eventually have a rocket that's just like got a tiny little artificial finger so they can launch it up there to hold the power button for 10 seconds? Restart that bad boy?
It's SpaceX space robots. I mean, it could be a thing. You never know.
Well, this week, there was a blockbuster divorce. Huge divorce in the tech world. And I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about.
Kotaku brings us Bungie splits with Activision and keeps Destiny.
Was that your weeb voice?
Yes, it was.
That was good.
Was it good?
It was not bad. It's not bad.
I've had some practice overseas, I guess. It's been pretty good. So, yeah, Destiny. You know, we played Destiny.
Destiny 2.
We played Destiny 2.
It was not great.
There were moments where, like, I started to have fun, and then it was like, just kidding. Like,
enjoy some grinding.
Yeah, it wasn't great. A lot of people have blamed Activision for making it so grindy and, you know, the microtransactions and the loot boxes and stuff like that.
It might have been a good story. I mean, it had Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, that's what makes a story. So, Bungie...
There could have been a lot of different decisions there, I think.
The people inside Bungie seem to agree with this as they announced that there was a company-wide cheer when this was announced over the loudspeakers. It's also not the first time this has happened. Bungie also had an acrimonious divorce with Microsoft.
Yeah.
So maybe they should stop sucking on the teat of that major corporation money.
I would be curious to know if the creative talent that came up with all the cool stuff that Bungie has done is still with Bungie or if they have been shed over the years.
Yeah, they may have left by now.
A lot of the time, unfortunately, it's a situation that all the cool people have already left and moved on, and we can't really put the genie back in the bottle, as it were.
They might be able to find some new talent, though.
I think some of the guys who were part of Halo did work on Destiny 2.
Well, there are those are probably the aspects of Destiny 2 that are not terrible.
Well, you might have seen the hot new Netflix movie, Bandersnatch, Black Mirror Bandersnatch. And if you haven't...
It's been in the headlines. How would you describe why it's been in the headlines?
Well, I'm going to say if you haven't done it yet, you might ought to hurry... Because there's a lawsuit in the works because of what you're talking about. It is a special kind of movie.
How would you describe the kind of plot? Yeah.
So the headline is Netflix hit with a choose-your-own-adventure lawsuit over Black Mirror Bandersnatch. So Black Mirror is a series on Netflix that is sort of about the dark possibilities of the future of technology. Really, a lot of the time the stories are based on stuff we're doing now.
I was going to say, you say possibilities, but often...
I feel like it's predictions.
Yeah, form follows art. Because the governments are like, oh, yeah, we didn't even think of that.
So this is a movie where you watch some scenes, and when the main character has to make a decision, you can choose which...
option they pick.
Turn to page 76.
And so there's a company that owns the Choose Your Own Adventure book series, and they're real upset that you can choose your own adventure in a movie.
So are they... Like, I could see them maybe being upset if Netflix used the choose-your-own-adventure phrasing in their advertising campaign, but I don't feel like they would have much of a case if it was just like, no one can do choose-your-adventure except for us. Like, the format.
How would you describe choosing your own adventure?
An interactive experience.
Well, it's not really... You are making choices that have real consequences for the characters.
That's like what some of those Telltale games are like.
No, see, viewer immersion is more like, you know, you smell that guy got shot or whatever.
What, first-person viewing.
What do they call the Telltale game? Like a decision-making simulator? Choose Your Adventure is probably the most concise, but if they wanted to avoid a lawsuit, they probably wouldn't have put that in their advertising.
Choose your own, some other word other than adventure.
Isn't this movie also, it doesn't quite work like Choose Your Own, like doesn't it replay the same things that are just slightly modified?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good argument against that. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it really either. I've seen clips, but so everybody go play that because free PR or
I'm reminded of the, God, what's the movie where... it's got like the guy in the bunny suit.
Donnie Darko?
Yeah. I'm reminded of Donnie Darko.
I want a LucasArts style point and click adventure, but with cinematics, like where everything is like every possible. So it's like lick wall, and it's like, you know, it's not going to do that. But it's all cinematic as opposed to being sprite animation.
That would be a lot of
filming. A lot of work.
An impossible amount of work for very little payoff.
Well, if you built that with the Unreal Engine, then maybe you could get some help with it.
TechCrunch has the improbable, and Epic Games have established a $25 million fund to help devs move to more open engines after a Unity debacle. We don't know what the Unity debacle is, though.
I've never heard of improbable either.
Yeah.
They had some sort of falling out with Unity, and Unity pulled their license.
So improbable can't distribute their game anymore.
So... Epic stepped in, and Epic seems to just be drunk with power now that they got this Fortnite money.
Yeah.
They're like, They're in the strip club just throwing around hundreds.
And Improbable was the first date they took to the back room,
I guess. Yeah, she was the first girl to come and sit on their lap and be like, you know, I got kids in school.
I'm working my way through law school.
So that's probably not bad, though. I mean, you know, it's if you can force the engines to compete and to be more open with that free money, then probably good. I don't know.
This is going to be a story that we report on many, many more times. And I'm sure that a lot of people in the comments probably know the backstory. So, yeah, help us fill in some blanks here. Maybe this will be a follow-up.
Well, 2018, in addition to being the year of Facebook's downfall and space launches, was also the year of stupid tweets from Elon Musk. And guess what? He's not slowing down.
Flying Tesla, sure, we calculate the power demands. This is Wired. So Elon Musk tweeted that, hey, we're working on a version of the...
He responded to this picture.
Yeah. So it's like, that's the DeLorean from Back to the Future, which is flying. And Elon Musk is like, the new Roadster will actually do something like this.
And they said, oh, ha ha, that's funny.
Good joke.
And no.
I'm not. We'll use SpaceX cold gas thruster with ultra high pressure air. Composite overwrap pressure vessel in place of the two rear seats. Wow.
But
what's the use case for this?
No. I didn't notice that before. He said two rear seats, not wheels. Two points of thrust on a rectangle?
No, I read that as he's going to put the machinery necessary for this in the back seat.
So just to create the pressure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Wired did the math. And they assumed 20-inch wheels that would turn sideways, a la the DeLorean. And what kind of flight time could you get with those kind of thrusters, given the SpaceX technology? That came out to about 2.5 minutes. And that was a full Tesla battery.
Well, and that's more than enough time to get to work, right? I mean,
I suppose if by getting to work you had to jump a small bridge that was missing, that took like 30 seconds... Maybe, but that also raises the question of, like, how do you rotate those wheels in while it's sitting there? You'd have to jack it up on something.
It would have to not be electric. I'm sure we're going to get the comment that's like, it is obviously not electric powered. We're going to put something that is far more energy dense than...
solid fuel.
Well, I mean, can you imagine, like, the rush hour LA traffic with just vehicles filled with solid fuel? That would be bad.
What does the impact rating change when you're carrying solid fuel in your Tesla?
Somebody hit my car in the parking lot with their buggy, and it
burst. Exploded.
You know those... left a 12-foot crater.
You know those, like, they've got a series of... coated triangles that go on the back of big trucks.
It's
like your Tesla would just be covered with triangles of all the warning signs of things.
Well, it's a status symbol. You know, some people start getting those stickers just because it's like, I want people to think that I have solid fuel in my car.
You get a call and it's like, hello? And it's like, yeah, are you so-and-so registered to this Tesla vehicle? Yeah. It's like, you're not going to be able to drive on the interstate today. We're hauling some nuclear fuel up from Oak Ridge. Okay, thanks, because it's too risky.
Or it's like your home is within 5 miles of an elementary school. You're gonna have to get rid of that car. Well, speaking of Mr. Musk, SpaceX, as we said, had a big year in 2018. A lot of big announcements, but it seems like maybe the news was just they were a little too successful.
The Los Angeles Times says SpaceX to lay off 10% of its workforce. So I'm sure they're telling the employees, you're great, but...
It's not you, it's us.
Yeah. But the reality is that SpaceX has actually been very, very commercially successful, and it doesn't need the level of engineering talent that it has now. I mean, it's basically where it needs to be. It's an iterative process to get where they are, so it seems kind of crappy. It's like, yeah, everything's great, you're fired.
Yeah,
that's basically
thanks for all your work.
I mean, it really is.
Do you think those people will go to NASA, do you think?
Those people will probably go to work for competing companies, and so I don't think SpaceX realizes that...
Well, they got Blue Origin and what's his name? The Virgin one?
Bezos would be wise to scoop all these people up immediately.
He may have his hands full with some other matters.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
But before we talk about that, let's talk about how ugly you all are.
CES 2019 skin printer wipes away years from your face. Technically, it's not a skin printer. It's a makeup printer.
Application device.
Yeah, so it uses an optical sensor to read your skin and then selectively paints makeup on your face to hide defects.
So instead of spending time looking at YouTube tutorials about how to do your makeup, you can just cheat code your way in and just...
Wasn't this something in the Jetsons? Like, didn't, like, Judy sit down at the desk or something and it would just, like...
Do her makeup for her, maybe. This is cool, though.
I think this is going to be huge for the, like, the tech YouTube scene. Because what's going to happen is all the makeup thoughts are going to get this, but they're going to want to modify it and make it better.
I'll just say they'll, they can pre-program it with their own looks.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they'll get into the world of, like, ROM hacking and custom firmwares, and it'll bring just tons of gorgeous women into the technology sector. It's going to be fantastic.
I saw one of those makeup things that was, it was two girls that started out, and they didn't look anything alike. And they applied their makeup in such a way, like, by the end, it was like, these people are twins. It was very convincing.
Yeah,
it's because you're doing the contouring and stuff. Like, there's an art to that. I'm wondering how good this really is, but, like,
although
it could be the start of something amazing.
I imagine there will be sort of like a Luddite portion of the thoughts who think that this is just cheating and it's taking away from the art.
Well, yeah, it's like people, you know, digital versus traditional art, you know. Mm-hmm. That debate's about to come to the thought world. The YouTuber world.
It's like, I'm an analog beauty, not this automated stuff. Which is funny because it's like people pretending to be something that they're not, criticizing people who pretend to be easier than they pretend to be.
Yes.
You know what we mean.
Well, actually, you remember when I said that thing about the divorce earlier? I wasn't talking about that one. You know what I was talking about.
Why? What's it, TMZ?
This is like this is the first time we've ever referenced TMZ.
TMZ on a Czech news show. I don't understand. Okay, so Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos, no prenup, $137 billion on the line. They've agreed to get a divorce. So far, things are really cordial. This stock photo is older, but Jeff Bezos looks like he just learned that his cat has died.
She's thinking about, it's like, what island do I want? do I want to go off the coast of Greece or?
Is this after they announced that they divorced?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Say that was just a random photo. Event.
I don't. They're probably not appearing in public anymore.
Oh, he did. So, he was at the Golden Globes. Yeah.
So this is probably the reason.
This is definitely the reason.
Apparently, they separated and they've both been seeing other people, so they're just like, okay, we need to, like.
Except there's pictures of him with her, like, from the spring.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he cheated on her.
They're also neighbors.
Mm. And so. She cheated on her husband. Like, I think that, like, I don't know.
She's also married. She's still married.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm going to assume that her and Bezos, like, Jeff Bezos, are probably the scumbags in this situation.
Wow.
It's a bold declaration for someone who knows absolutely nothing about their personal lives, but I'm going to say it.
So they are in Washington State? Is
that right?
And so the law is straight down the middle, which means $137 billion down the middle.
Wow.
And
also, just like that, the Zuck is back on top.
Yeah. That was Bill Gates, I think.
Oh, yeah.
They own like 400,000 acres of property between them.
Yeah, doesn't that make like you sick, though? It's like, God, I just want an acre of land. They have 400,000.
So they got to split that up.
And got a national park.
Yeah, that's amazing.
How big is Daniel Boone National Forest? It's like 386,000 acres, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like most of Eastern Kentucky is Daniel Boone. And they're struggling to get certain parts of trail made because some people still own parts of it.
Oh, I bet the trails on the Bezos land are fantastic.
I bet they are. They're probably better maintained than the ones in Daniel Boone.
Like, if you go by an outbuilding and you're like, oh, we're running low on some supply, there's those Amazon Dash buttons.
Like, Alexa and everyone.
Order, like anti-tick spray. Just push a button.
And then the aircraft flies overhead just spraying.
Drone delivery.
Defoliating the entire forest for your...
But that has got to hurt. Now, they were married well before
25 years.
Amazon.
Yeah, 25 years.
So, in the eyes of the courts, she's just as responsible for that as he is. I kind of doubt it.
But she did work at Amazon in the early days and, like, helped him set everything up in the garage. And, like, he quit his job so he could work on Amazon and she was supporting the family. So you could argue.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good argument.
Yeah.
But, you got to wonder, is he just going to be like, okay, fine, here it is. Because in your day-to-day life, how is half different?
It's such an astronomically large number.
Yeah.
He will never notice it, right?
Yeah.
It's just on paper. So I don't know. I mean, but it is, again, it's so much, $70 billion.
I can't even fathom that amount
of money. It's just a shocking amount to give up overnight.
It's like, I think it's like so much, there goes my dreams of being a trillionaire by the time.
So imagine every time he looks at her, he just sees 70 billion printed on her forehead.
That might make their relationship a bit strange. But so far, things have seemed pretty cordial.
Also, if she was gold digging him, that's a harsh blow, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the mine just
but
got
But she was
halved.
Married to someone else who I thought was rich as... I mean, what? Who knows what these people think? Like,
ah,
they're
just,
not like
These it. Are just bored rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
25 years and then throwing it away for your neighbor, neighbor's wife.
I saw another article that thought that this might actually be good for Amazon's stock price because
you think
she might like bring a new outlook to her half of it because she is technically half owner of the company at this point. Basically, I mean, she'll get half of his shares.
Wow,
I wonder if that makes him less than a majority.
God, that'd be interesting. Well, to follow this, we'll have to find some more TMZ articles to read on level one.
The timeline that I want to see is where she becomes like the queen of the warehouse worker.
A woman of the people?
Yeah. And she swoops in and she's like, we're putting heating units on all these buildings. You're getting 20-minute breaks every hour. The number of picks per hour is halving. And Bezos is just like, you know, like it's holding his chest.
What do you mean these are people?
I'm imagining a far more dystopia thing where she just gives everybody VR helmets and what they're experiencing is actually like really horrible, but what they're living in the VR thing is like some sort of happy game that's artificially stimulating whatever part of their brain that makes them happy.
They're picking what they see as sort of animated cute fruits, you know, like little animated fruit, but it's human organs.
Yeah.
See, I think what's more likely is like, despite all these claims, that, oh, you know, we're still really good friends and everything. I could see her just like torching
it. Scorched earth.
Yeah. Like I'm just going to get rid of all the shares and then we'll see though.
Life's complicated. I don't know. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. It's considerably less complicated when you have $70 billion.
Money might not be able to buy happiness, but it does a pretty good job staving off the boredom.
Tomorrow will be government and probably security, or we could go robot. I don't remember which was more this week. But either way, it's going to be fantastic. So check it out.